So what you gonna do, brother? We about to run wild with a style like no other. So somebody call Brodus Clay mother and tell her Richard runs on the men like Ed Lover. And Doc Dre, what Scott say, what they hang on every word like it's something that the Rock say. No JR, but they talking wrestling. We bring the noise with the boys, so we going castling. So masculine, who's in machismo? Mutton chop shop, Gran Turismo. No free throws, snarl hoops and heels. It's D-Rod's retirement, give you the super feels. Straight shoot, it's real. Drop a pipe bomb, get rid of the bull like the Rock's right arm. So stay calm, tranquilo. I'll go Naito and give him destino. And we know that you chumps ain't ready for the heartbreak runs and the Cuban Jannetty. They drop it heavy, tag team it like Teddy. Long going strong with the heat like Eddie. So steady like when Taker walk the tightrope. Spaz like Taz with the mic and a tight choke. Dirtiest player in the game with the eye poke. 1988 Macho Man on a lot of coke. These other casts are a waste, they boring. Illegitimate sons like Jason Jordan. And Richard Runs never give him respect unless they going on air with a broken freaking neck. So bounce like Papa Pump's pecs. Every time they get down, they bound to catch wreck. Y'all don't know nada, they the Okadas. You're the Washington Generals, they the Globetrotters. A whole lot of podcasts in the scene, but Richard Runs running wild is the cast of your dreams. So it seems these two is too sweet. Bullet Club pulling up with schemes to delete. So retreat, we steal, we cheat. But I never lie, I swear on these beats. And these two got some styles for you. But what you gonna do when they run wild on you?
Oh, hell yeah. It's the Big Dog Red Titus. And you're listening to the Running Wild podcast. Because if you're trying to run wild, this is the place to do it.
Do you want to let everyone know that you get it? Do you not want to be a Melvin? Well, then listen to the Running Wild podcast. And if you don't, you know what you are.
I'm the last real man, Silas Young. And if you're any kind of man, you'll be listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Mandy Leon, and you're listening to the Running Wild podcast.
This is Sam Adonis, El Hudo de las Chicas, the CMLL, and you are listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Runs.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back to you after a little bit of a reprieve. I'm back from the dead. I was slightly ill and on my deathbed last week, so we didn't record, and by the time I got better, it just paid to wait. But we have a lot of stuff to talk about today. We have Honor for All and the fallout from that weekend with Ring of Honor. We have Slammiversary, TNA Slammiversary, which was you'll hear about it here, but also just all around people have been giving it great praise. And of course we'll be talking about the G1 tournament, some Samoan Twitter war, and some CMLL stuff that's got me going crazy, and Runs could not care any less. Before we get started with all that, just want to remind you that we're brought to you in partnership with PWPonderings.com, ROHWorld.com, and LastWordOnProWrestling.com. We're also featured on the Wrestling to the Max network. All right, so you want to start off with the Honor for All, because that's like just that weekend's fallout before we head into Slammiversary?
Was there any fallout from that weekend?
Well, I mean, you had a title switch. You know, the Kingdom actually ended up losing their titles to Cody and the Young Bucks. I think they're calling themselves maybe All In or something like that. During the weekend, I mean, during the show, you had Aldis defending against Flip Gordon. And during the match, basically Cody was won over by Gordon's heart and guts. And then I don't know. Did you see Being the Elite?
And gave him a Cracker Barrel gift card.
Yeah, it seemed like he was going to... I honestly thought that he was going to be on All In after that. I thought that's what they were going for with the way they were working on commentary. It still might be the case, but at least on Being the Elite, he only offered him a Cracker Barrel gift card.
It's too soon for him to get on All In still. It's got to be that day, or he just got to show up, or I don't know.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I still think that he could be, he could be Bernard. Who knows?
He could be, I guess.
I mean, I feel like, I guess it's never going to happen. I mean, look, I know.
No, it's going to happen.
Oh, no. That we're ever going to find out who Bernard is. That I just might be, I think I want Bernard to be somebody, and I think that I'm just very wrong on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it very well could end up being, you know, anyone or no one. You know, it's one of those things where it was Omega at a point, you know, so like it, if they want to use it in a storyline, it can be used. If not, then it will never be. So, you know.
Well, he was Barry. That's the drug-free bear. That's different from Bernard, the business bear.
Right.
They both Whatever. Follow, by the way. They both of those bear accounts follow Fozzie Bear on Twitter. Weird fact.
Amazing.
And Bernard follows Barry, but Barry does not follow Bernard. Like, they're not cool. So.
Okay.
Weird stuff. But anyway, yeah. So you had the fact that, you know, Gordon at some point, I mean, we figured down the road it's going to happen. I thought it would be here. I guess you have Honor for All weekend. I mean, the Honor Reunited weekend in August. He could pop up there, so. I don't know. It's got to happen sometime, though.
Yeah, I mean, they're on Being the Elite every week, so.
There's a part of me that thinks it would be just absolutely hilarious if he didn't.
I mean, it would be.
The
but, I mean, maybe he's not, and you know, he just shows up to someone's getting beat up, and he comes out to save Cody. You know, I don't know.
That makes sense. And then, see, I'm trying to figure out like who would he even. I mean, they have so many guys. I mean, did you see that they just announced that Bandito's going to be all in?
Mm-hmm. I thought they announced that a long time ago, but that might have just been like Bola or something like that. But yeah, I could have swore they mentioned him a while back. But yeah, so I mean, just they know what they're doing. You know, they're booking the right guys, the guys that are going to draw some names, draw the crowd, and you know, get people excited. They announced Marty and Okada. That's a cool match. You know, they like Magnus was making fun of him in the locker room on Being the Elite and all that kind of stuff. So that'll be good. Marty is, you know, hilarious. What else did they announce? They announced something else, right? Another match?
They announced Joey Janela versus Adam Page.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, fun stuff. Just being the storylines playing out. So, that's cool to see.
I do like seeing Page just kind of freak out about it. Did we ever find out? Didn't someone like sneak up on him or something? In maybe the last episode of BTE? I thought it was... It made me feel like it was Joey Ryan because, like, you know, remember after the funeral thing, like, his body wasn't in the casket or something.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So the idea is that he might not actually be dead type thing. So I don't know. I was kind of waiting for follow-through on that, but maybe they'll do it later. I did like the ending of this week, the way they pushed forward the... You know, Cody's like, wait a minute, we're not ending on a cliffhanger?
Nah.
Because I was actually thinking, like, I'm surprised they're not, and then they did that. And I was just like, oh, I kind of like when they just don't care, and they're just like, straight up. But
Well, I mean, that's pretty much the entire concept of the show is just like an inside joke between everyone. So it's always... you know, worth a laugh or a few every week. So, you know, it's great to see Being the Elite, and you know, when it plays out on TV and in storylines and all on all these different shows, it makes it like must-watch viewing. You know.
And now Cody and the Bucks have the six-man titles. I mean, right after it happened, all three members of the Kingdom tweeted out like pretty. You know, their honest tweets, I mean, whatever, quote unquote, where they're like really pissed off and they basically say they want to quit Ring of Honor because there's a conspiracy against them. I mean, I feel like this just means that we're going to get a Taven title shot, possibly a Taven title run down the line. I mean, I think it's coming up. Why else take the titles off them and put it on Cody and the Bucks? I mean, the Bucks just scored a pinfall over the Briscoes, and I thought they were going to be in like a tag team, like you know, feud with SCU being involved, trying to get the titles, and the Briscoes. But now they're the six-man champs, so I don't know really what direction they're going to go in there, and what they're going to do with the tag division.
Well, I think the Bucks just were in the feud for the tag titles. They had their match. They lost to the Briscoes, so. You know, now they can take a step back, and now they're the six-man champ, so, you know, that's perfectly fine. And it gives them and Cody something to do while they're not in the main title pictures, and, you know, that's fine. We've been saying that Taven's, you know, kind of time was coming up, and the storylines were in place, and, you know, even more so with Lethal as the champ, it just kind of continued to grow that way. So now, you know, who knows what happens with Ring of Honor and Lethal and all that kind of stuff. And that's, you know, a story for another day. But, you know, it very well could be this is kind of just working out for Taven, where it's going to be his time soon.
I hope so. I mean, he'll be heading down to CMLL next week, along with Christopher Daniels will be there also, and the Briscoes. So the Briscoes are going to be there for one show on Friday. It's, I know you're not very excited about this, but I'm super amped up for the Briscoes and Roosh versus La Parca, Phoenix, Ray Phoenix, and Penta. So that's going to be kind of crazy. I don't know what Daniels is doing. The reason Friday's a big show is because it's like the 40th the 40th anniversary of when Negro Casas started wrestling. Like, dude is still, he's wrestling now. Like, semi-main events, like every show. And so this is like a tribute show to his career, basically. And like it said that he got to pick the matches or something like that. So pretty crazy to have all that talent down there. I don't know what Daniels, I think, is going to be on the Sunday show. And I would assume that Taven's going to be down there. He's got to defend the title that he has against Volador, possibly. I'm not sure if he'll drop it. And then I think he'll be down there a little longer. So just a lot of cross-brand stuff, and it seems that happens a little bit more during the summer. So Ring of Honor's got a little break until we have Honor reunited, which will be in the middle of August. And of course, I'm going on another vacation, so somehow I'll be on vacation during those three shows.
What?
Because I literally pick I go on vacation the best weeks ever, usually during huge wrestling times, but I'm putting my foot down. Nothing's going to happen during WrestleMania week next year. We are not going anywhere. I will be dedicated to local area wrestling. So, Slammiversary was good. I actually got a chance to take a look. I didn't watch every match, but I tuned into like some of the bigger matches. Man, I don't even know, like, at this point, realistically, it's not right to say TNA anymore.
No, I mean, it is, you know, they are distancing themselves from that name and, you know, being Impact. And, you know, I was commenting to you during the show, like, I really like them being based, you know, basically out of Canada now. And, you know, it was, Florida wasn't working. The setup they had, the free tickets with the crowd they were drawing, just the aura, the stink that was associated with that, it wasn't working. So being in Canada, being in, I liked that arena they were in for Slammiversary. They had a nice setup. It looked nice on the TV. The crowd was really into it. So, you know, I love the storylines, the video packages that they had. I haven't watched Impact every week, but you know, watching that kind of made me want to start. So, you know, that's not something I can say for any TNA show in the past, I don't know, however many years. You know, the last two Impact show, I thought they were excellently done. And, you know, I'm definitely leaving a good taste in my mouth.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, as I've been watching more CMLL, a mask versus hair match is something that I think is really cool to be able to watch, especially like in an American broadcast. I may not love every single, I may not love all the talent there. There's some guys that I'd rather not see, to be honest with you. But at the same time, it's very different. It's not, I will openly admit here now that if they're continuing to do what they're doing right now, I can no longer sit here and say, you know, TNA sucks, TNA sucks, TNA sucks.
Right, and when, you know, of course there's going to be guys that you don't like because there's guys that you don't like everywhere, you know? Yeah. So that holds true for every promotion. But, you know, the guys that I do like, Morrison, Phoenix, Penta, Aries, even Moose, or, yeah, you know, guys like that, they outweigh the other guys. So I really enjoyed watching that show. I watched it live. I was looking forward to the card. I wanted to see the Mask vs. Hair match just because, you know, but it just kind of sucks. Like, Sami Callihan's hair isn't a big deal. It's never been a big deal.
Yeah.
And like it he really doesn't have any left. Like the sides were shaved and everything, so it was kind of like, okay, you know, how big of a deal is this haircut? But it the match was really well done, and there were times when I was like, wow, holy shit, maybe Pentagon was going to lose, just, you know, knowing that wasn't going to happen, but still, they planted that seed of doubt for, you know, even a split second, and that was well done.
I hope that he does, you know, my favorite thing about a hair match is generally the fallout, where a guy comes out with a wig.
I think he makes the Chris brothers shave their heads and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, gosh, so darn it. See, like, in CMLL, there's still fallout from this woman getting her head shaved, where she just came out. She comes out with, like, a doofy hat on top of a wig.
Right.
And then she starts to wrestle, and almost, like, immediately, like, her wig gets pulled off, and then she overreacts, and I don't know.
That Kurt Angle was great with that, the wrestling headpiece and the wig and
that
all
was
that.
So good. Or Vince with the stupid hat.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it worked out. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, where they go from here and heading into the next shows. And, you know, like we said, we like a good amount of this roster. And, you know, the matches that these guys are putting on have been really awesome on the pay-per-view. So, can't really knock them. I really enjoyed that show from top to bottom. I really thought it was really good.
Yeah, I know, and I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you and tell you that I'm gonna watch the weekly product when there's so much stuff that I don't watch on a weekly basis already. Like, that is, you know, fantastic, and I'm whatever. But I'm definitely more open to the product than I was before. Even, you know, there's tons of wrestling out there that I like that I don't get to watch, but I think that
there's a more positive vibe,
positive
momentum to the company now, and that's great to see, because, you know, of course there's already too much wrestling, but we can always use more, you know, kind of competition for WWE, for Ring of Honor, for whoever. I just think it makes everyone better, you know, so if they can get to a point where they're viable again and, you know, they're developing stars or they have these names coming in or stuff like that, you know, then it could be fun.
I totally agree. I mean, I think it's just and the way that they're kind of okay with some talent, you know, going places. And I think it's smart. Like,
right. They should operate more like a little bit of an indie company instead of, you know, WWE, because that's not who they are right now. And, you know, in order to get back there, I think that's a smart move, because you don't have Aries or Penta or Phoenix or Morrison or any of those guys if you have exclusive contracts. And then what the hell does that roster look like? I'm not sure there is one. So it makes a lot of sense to have a lot of those big name guys. Yeah, come and go as you please whenever you're open. That's a smart move. You know, someone like Tessa Blanchard, they signed to an exclusive deal, long term, blah, blah, blah. That's cool. I think that's a cool thing where, you know, she's going there maybe to build something up, maybe to develop something else. Maybe it keeps her other options open outside of it. I don't know. But, you know, I just think stuff like that makes sense.
Huh. I really can't disagree on anything that you're saying there. So, wow. TNA's dead. Long live Impact, I guess. And I can't believe I'm saying that we might end up finding ourselves at a show.
Wait, it's not we might. We will be there. I mean, it's 10 minutes away. It's Bound for Glory. That's I don't know what the equivalent still is, but, you know, that used to be their WrestleMania, SummerSlam-ish kind of shows. So that's a big deal, and it'll be cool to see, you know, those kind of guys that we just talked about. Yes, we can see them at MLW or anything like that, but, you know, it doesn't matter. Wrestling is wrestling. So seeing those guys, Bound for Glory, that kind of stuff here, why not?
Totally agreed. All right, so we covered Slammiversary. Now I suppose we should jump into G1 stuff?
Yeah, sure, I guess. It hasn't, like, really been much. Today was their first show in a few days. Good show, of course. Sabre getting a big win over Ishii. Kenny over Juice. And Sonata beat Ibushi in the main event, in which they billed it as a Battle of the Beautiful, which was hilarious. you know, Omega is undefeated so far, and they're kind of pushing, like, you know, that one, that's never happened. Two, the last time, like, a champion has won has been a long, long time ago. So if he wins, he gets to choose his opponent for Wrestle Kingdom, so that would be kind of cool. I'm not sure that, you know, they'll go that way, but I think, you know, with him just winning the title recently and not really having any defenses, like, up until this point, him winning is kind of sending a message. You know, it's like, this is our new champion, he's dominant right now, he's going in this tournament just beating everyone. It came out on Being the Elite, right, that he has a fractured heel. Mm-hmm. It started to play into the storyline now on the show. They're mentioning it more often. So we'll see if that becomes a factor as he gets, you know, into the semis or the finals or whatever. But, you know, right now he's in first, dominating. I think A Block is, like, everyone has, like, 6 and 4 points. So it really can go any way at this point. Really with anyone. Jay White's been losing, or he lost his last couple. I spelled this out for you. Like, he loses to Suzuki, and mm-hmm. it just, you know, it kind of snowballs. But we'll see what happens, how they go with that. Him and Sabre have been, you know, just real highlights of New Japan the last couple months or year, just with their pushes and how that's worked out. So, you know, the G1's been awesome. I've been enjoying where they've been going, and I can't wait to see, you know, really how this plays out.
It sounds, I mean, if Omega wins, who do you think he would pick?
I mean, that's a really good question. I don't know. I really don't know. You know, I don't think it's Okada, because it's just, it's not like Okada's been dominating and that kind of stuff lately, right? Like, they're doing that whole kind of storyline with him, you know, being down on his luck or not really caring, nonchalant, whatever they're doing. Naito's always around, Tanahashi's always around, or, you know, does something happen with Tonga? Do they do something with Jay White or Sabre? I really don't know. There's so many different directions that New Japan could go. But, you know, much like WWE at WrestleMania, it's, you know, sometimes it tends to come down to the Okadas and Tanahashis and Naitos of the world. So I really don't know where they would go.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even call it. He could. I mean, what if he picked Ibushi? I don't think that's where.
Right, and, you know, him and Ibushi is going to be the last match of A Block or whatever block they're in. Yeah. So, you know, I wonder maybe you could do something where, like, Omega is unbeaten and Ibushi beats him, and maybe Omega goes on to win it, and then he's like, you know, my only loss of that whole tournament was Ibushi, and you just sell that Golden Lovers match, which I think people would eat up because they love those guys. So, you know, that could very easily work out.
Yeah, I'm just liking the development, the different, really the guys they're pushing outside of the norm. I think is been really what sets this apart for me, or maybe it's just because I'm more into like who these guys are, and I'm cognizant of everybody.
I think that goes both ways, because I think we're more cognizant of people, one, because, you know, they're using more foreign guys and guys that we're more familiar with just in general. But, you know, even the guy Ishii, Goto, you know, even Shonyo, like guys like that or Juice, guys that we wouldn't care about, in previous years. Now we have more eyes on and more attention to, because, you know, we're paying more attention because Omega is the champion, or the Bucks and Cody and stuff like that. So it's working for them, this current formula. And, you know, it feels like a different place when Omega is the champion. I don't know why, because, you know, he's always been there. But it just feels new and it feels fresh, and it feels like a whole different place, you know, without it being Okada, since it's been so long. There's a real fun vibe to it now. There's definitely some real growth to it, and you know, it's a lot of fun to be there for the rise.
So based on Twitter stuff, do you think that there's a chance we could see maybe Firing Squad with Roman Reigns against the Elite?
Yeah, well, no, Wrestle Kingdom. But that would be hilarious. I don't know where the snitch or that kind of stuff comes from. I don't know, you know, what triggered all of that. So if you know, maybe you could enlighten us. But, you know, Twitter stuff, sometimes it plays out. Sometimes it is what it is. Sometimes it's just these guys going back and forth for no reason.
Well, one night it seemed like, I don't know. I don't want to. All I know is that one night, it seemed that I think Tama Tonga just lost his mind on Twitter and just started kind of cursing people out, like fans, just saying crazy stuff.
But that's what he's doing in New Japan. You know what I mean? Like that's his character. So like he's trying to make you hate him. Like in New Japan, all they keep talking about is like how there's never been this many DQs in the G1 and all that kind of stuff. So like they're trying to make you hate them right now, you know. So go ahead.
So he started going crazy, and then basically Roman Reigns commented on one of his videos and said that he was quoting a Drake song in one of his New Japan backstage promo stuff, and then so Tonga had gone crazy. Whatever, he said he was out of Twitter jail. And then he was basically calling Reigns out, saying that I can't hear your bark from over there. Come to my yard, and calls him a rat. So it's of all the people in WWE that I could see having like Twitter spats or like, you know, things like this, and not even real. Like, you know, I think totally works, whatever. But I didn't think it would be him, you know? Like, you see the New Day, and they do stuff. It seems like cross-promotionally with the Bucks and things like that, and they're always teasing stuff. But, like, Roman Reigns is the last dude on that roster that I thought would be doing something like this.
Yeah, but it's not the first time that he's had stuff on Twitter with anyone. But I don't know. They're both Samoan. I'm assuming that they know each other, that they're, you know, somewhat cool, because why would Roman Reigns comment anything on Tama Tonga's video unless they were cool enough for him to make a joke or something like that, you know? And then, of course, Conga just doing in character like he's doing right now, just continued going and attacking Reigns and all that sort of stuff. You know, it's interesting. It's fun. It's what keeps things like Twitter interesting. But I really don't know where we go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to really come to anything. Like, we were talking about off air how, man, if Reigns literally went to New Japan for 6 months, he would be... I think it would be so different. But I don't think it's going to happen because he just earned the right to challenge Lesnar for the goddamn title at SummerSlam.
Right, and now... this is terrible. I mean, just the worst possible, like, I don't know, Lashley, Lesnar might have been worse, but I don't think it really matters, because I think we're still walking out of SummerSlam with Braun as your champion. I just, whether he cashes in during the match and, you know, screws up the finish, or whether Reigns wins, he gets to beat Brock, and then Braun cashes in, Brock wins, and then he catches, however they play it out. Braun, how much longer is he going to walk around with that briefcase? I just think it, you know, it's too much, it's too long. Let him just be the champion, and let's do something with him.
What if at NXT, after NXT TakeOver, he bumps into Riddle, he gives the briefcase to Riddle, and now Riddle completes his checklist of retiring Brock, and he comes out.
Fights him in UFC and beats him. Anyway, so yeah, I don't like. Imagine that they end SummerSlam, 4 years in a row, with Brock Lesnar bloodying someone up and just ending on a quick note like that would just be. Oh man, so I don't know. Hopefully they've learned from their last 3 years of mistakes, or. This has all been building to something. You know, maybe that same thing happens, and everyone's like, oh my God, are you kidding me? And then, you know, we get Braun. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to that. It also seems that we might get... or hopefully Braun wins, because I can't. I just can't stand that. The Lesnar stuff is just... I'm done with it. I don't know. It almost feels worse than the Triple H Reigns.
I honestly can't wait to see the Universal title. It's been forever.
It's
been forever. It's been WrestleMania.
This is what they're doing. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Years. Like, it's literally been years since it's actually like been on Raw. Like, he's had it, and then he loses it for a short amount of time, then he gets it back. He's been champion for a long time. So yeah, it's fine. We don't always need it, and having it there all the time sometimes waters it down. And now I really want to see it. So, good job by them. But now we're over it, and let's move on.
Well, on the we can switch, I guess, SmackDown side. We have, it looks like it's going to be AJ, Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't, first
AJ
of all.
AJ Joe, Brian Miz.
Just think about this you're really, I mean, granted, AJ wrestled in Ring of Honor, right? But you really, in my mind, have like Ring of Honor versus Impact or versus TNA as like your second biggest match of SummerSlam.
Forget about Ring of Honor versus TNA. You have TNA versus TNA.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wanted to throw Ring of Honor in, but
they, I know, and Joe, you know, what was a huge thing of Ring of Honor, but they, you know, they tore down the house in TNA multiple with anyone else. They kill the X Division. They put all that stuff on the map. So this is something that, you know, I've seen many times and in different companies. And so now it's pretty sick that SummerSlam is going to be, you know, somewhat headlined by Joe versus AJ. I think that's the perfect match for the hardcore fans. That's the perfect match to keep everyone, you know, engaged throughout. So I couldn't be more excited for that.
Yeah, and in the segment where that was revealed, Ellsworth got fired because he came out and wanted a title shot. And Paige was just like, "You're an idiot," and fired him.
Yeah, thanks and then, for coming back. You had a good match with Asuka, and you served your purpose again. And we'll see you when we need you.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to rip the Band-Aid off. So, I mean, I like that match a lot. I think it's going to be fantastic. It seems like Becky might finally get a chance at the title at SummerSlam.
Yep.
So hopefully she wins. I mean, not that I've had a real problem with Carmella, but I just feel like if Becky doesn't win here, it's her wheels have been spinning for a while. They really need to put the belt on her.
But I get what you're saying, but then again, she hasn't been on TV. She hasn't done anything meaningful in forever. So now, oh hey, we need a feud for Carmella. Oh hey, here's Becky Lynch. She's gonna be good again and win the title. You know what I mean? I'd rather it be someone who I don't know, like, could use it.
All right.
But I don't know. Who else is really in that category right now? So it's a fine match for SummerSlam. Couldn't really care less who wins that. It's fine either way. But, you know, I'm just more looking forward to where they go with Asuka or the Iconics or stuff like that, you know?
All right, I mean, other than, like, pouring over some more of the... I mean, the Orton came out and cut, like, a disgruntled heel promo.
Not great.
Which apparently Bully Ray was a fan of, and it's like, oh, my God. But, I mean...
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, I kind of hope now that they just... they call each other and give each other, like, you know, they just bitch about stuff together. So I think the other big news that we should talk about before we get out of here is... It seems all signs are pointing to Matt Riddle signing with WWE finally.
Yeah, and, you know, this is something that has been in the works since Matt Riddle started wrestling. Like, he went to the NXT and they pointed him to Evolve. So, you know, it's always been on the back burner. But... you know, we pulled out of some shows recently and people began to speculate. You know, both sides kind of said, like, no, not yet, not really. But then he pulled out of Bola, and you don't pull out of Bola. That's just not, it's, yeah, you know, that's not really, like, that's not something that happens unless you're going to be on NXT very soon. He pulled out of a show, I believe, tomorrow. Sooner than later, he will be there. You know, Evolve said he's going to be at all the August shows for them. Yeah, no shit. You work with WWE, that's not a hard thing to pull off. We're both pretty confident that Matt Riddle will be sitting in the Brooklyn crowd at some point during TakeOver Brooklyn.
I'm almost more excited to know who's going to be this year's Matt Riddle and be behind Matt Riddle when he's on screen. Because do you remember last time? Like, he was who was he behind? I don't know if you remember the shot.
I remember there was a time he was there. I don't remember when it was. Because last year.
Yeah, like he was. They were showing someone in the crowd.
Oh, that was. I don't know. Yeah, I remember him being there. It's not important. It really is irrelevant, but. Yeah, maybe there will be somebody
Tyler around.
Bate. Yeah, well, he's already there, so, you know, anyway.
I'd love to see Riddle there, then suddenly you see, like, Chuck Taylor Joey in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Just some random person. But, yeah, you know, it makes a lot of sense for that guy to be in WWE. I hope it all works out, because... I can't wait to see him, you know, at WrestleMania and doing big things for that company, because he has all the potential in the world. And, you know, we've kind of been on the bandwagon from the ground up. You know, I'll never forget walking into Evolve wearing his shirt and, like, walking past him and him kind of pointing me out, like, hey, nice shirt, man. Just kind of standing there by himself. So that's kind of cool. So it's always fun when things like that work out and you get to see those guys before they come up. So, you know, definitely rooting for him and can't wait to see what the future holds for them.
Yeah, man, super excited, that guy. I've been reading, like, lots about it and people talking about, like, whether or not he'll wear shoes and how, like, apparently Rusev breaking his foot might lead to them not letting him walk around shoeless and kind of all these crazy particulars.
Right. People have spoken out about, like, the problems with that, like, on your feet. So I'm sure they'll, you know, like, hey, you gotta, but it'll be strange to see him wearing whatever, I guess, wrestling shoes or boots or whatever.
I think he's worn boots before, though. Didn't he hurt his foot or something and wear boots at one point?
I don't know.
I think there was, like, one match that I saw in Evolve or something where he ended up wearing boots. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, just cool dude. I mean, like, his gimmick is just that. It's him turned up a little bit, you know?
It's just him.
Is
it turned up? I don't know.
No, I think it's just him. I mean, I've even gotten to do, like, a backstage like promo stuff with him when I was like a tier one wrestling, and he's just super, like, super chill, like, could care less, like, attitude, you know, like, he cares about, like, wrestling, obviously, but he's just, like, nothing seems to, like, bother him, you know. I think, like, they had to switch where the match was gonna go or something, and he was just like, yeah, whatever, like, we could do whatever, it doesn't bother me. You know, and he's just so relaxed. I don't know. I think it's going to be – he's definitely, I think, a character or a persona that they don't have right now. You know, like –
I guess. Like the nonchalantness, I don't know if that kind of character carries over necessarily, but, you know, they definitely have that, you know, kind of fighter type. But he has a legitimacy to him. They can throw all the UFC stats out there. They can show all that kind of stuff with him. And, you know, he holds his own in the ring. He's, for a guy who has not been wrestling a long time, he is pretty fantastic. So, you know, we're spending a little bit of extra time on this because it could have a big impact, you know, on WWE or NXT in the near future. So.
All I know is I want to get my WWE's bro shirt to go along with my Evolve's bro shirt. And I guess first we'll do NXT's bro.
Yeah, I guess. Like, it'll just be bro in the NXT font or something.
Oh, that would be... Yo, he should just make that right now. Like, they can't even sue him for it.
Right. I own the NWO version. I own the Evolve as Bro. I own the King of Bros Budweiser one. I own a Ninja Turtle one. So, you know, let's just keep adding them to the collection, I guess.
I'm totally cool with that. All right, is there anything else you want to cover? Have you been looking at the early Triple Mania card for the day we're doing our football draft?
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
All right. Yeah, this is the second year in a row that... our fantasy football league is drafting the same year.
This year it will be banned.
Hey, listen,
you will not be given the code for the Wi-Fi.
I did pretty well last year, considering that I was watching nope. Triple Mania. I believe I came in. I don't know.
The end result is correct. The end result is not the point because I believe it was last, but the end result is also not the point. The delays and the picks and the picking the wrong guys, you know, that's where the problem comes in.
Well, I mean, we all know that, I believe it's very clear that, you know, it's also the calls from Jersey, but, I will leave that be. All right. So if that's everything for this week. So I want to remind you guys that you guys can send us an email over at runningwildpodcast@gmail.com. You guys can follow us on Twitter at runningwildlwos, where we've been a little bit more active lately, so check us out there. You can find us on Facebook at Running Wild on Wrestling. Follow me at rich_laconi. Get me over. I need like 5 more follows to get me to 500. That's the kind of crazy number. So go along there and follow me there. And then you can also check out my Ring of Honor coverage at rohworld.com and pwponderings.com. All right. And with all that out of the way, just want to thank you guys for joining us and want to remind you that you've been listening to the podcast that is just too sweet.
For Rich and Runs, this is the host of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ian Riccaboni, signing off. Be sure to join them next week for another episode of the Running Wild Podcast.